Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. The Rad Reality Show. Manic Monday. Run away, blowing smoke. You poked a wormy, it's going broke. After the fall, it's an all-new episode. Reality is a hollow reality that comes from above. God is God, there's no bigger love. His reality will welcome us back. Trust and obey, there is no other way.
Welcome to the show. Where else can you listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers? That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show Network, and we have so many other guests. So first-time listeners, you need to tune in every Monday at 7 p.m., Thursday and Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Tonight, we have a special guest. Everyone sit back and enjoy. Because you know what? You know what day it is? It's Monday. That means it's Manic Monday. And that means it's time for...
Everyone that's in the chat room, everyone that's listening somewhere else on the internet, welcome to Manic Monday.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for being here with us on the Rad Reality Show Network. Welcome, Manic Monday fans. Welcome, Big Brother Canada fans. Today is March 31st, 2014, and it's time for the Manic Monday Show with Michelle Costa from Big Brother 10, and she has... in her first segment, and for the duration of Big Brother Canada Season 2, Suzette Amaya with Suzette's Slice of Canada. And we'll be having Paul Jackson from BBCA2 joining us in just a little while, and also a few other surprises that I can't wait to bring up. I'm going to let Michelle talk about those, because... she likes to break a little news as well. And for any new listeners out there tonight who don't know who you're listening to, I'm Cherry Garcia, and with me on air is Paul from Minnesota. We'll be your co-host tonight. Paul and I are going to have just a little chat to get started with, and then we'll get this show going. So, Paul, today was a beautiful day in St. Louis. How was it up in Minnesota?
And, yes, that was me going, ooh, to the surprises. It was another nice warm day up to all the high 50s today. So it's a nice day, but we're going to have a few cooler days again and even an outside chance overnight Thursday into Friday for some snow. But otherwise, it's a great day. It's opening day, baseball opening day. Unfortunately, the Twins were down in Chicago against the White Sox, and we lost 5-3. But I always think of opening day as being a sure sign that spring is here, and warmer temps are certainly going to be more the rule than the exception.
Absolutely. I'm not a huge baseball fan, but like you say, when that season rolls around, it means spring is here and summer's here, and those are my favorite seasons. So,
yeah, but
I'm
you're a baseball fan when the you're a baseball fan when the Cardinals win the World Series or in it at least, right?
Well, of course, of course.
Of course. So
we've got
I
a beautiful new stadium
you.
Opened up, so it's nice
oh,
to see
cool.
that progress is being made, and it's beautiful down there. So I want to go down and see all the new stores.
Oh, that's always good. I just wanted to quickly ask you, I did see on the news where you guys a few days ago had tornadoes in your area, and how close did they get to you, by the way?
Not too close, really. We had some high winds, lost power just for a quick moment, but nothing too serious. That was Thursday night, I believe. And it was just a little ugly. You know, in springtime here, that's not too unusual. And we get kind of used to it. You don't ever get used to tornadoes, but you do get used to the spring storms. And so, you know, that's something that's kind of expected. But it wasn't too bad.
Good.
It looked more ugly than it turned out to be. I'll put it that way. So.
That's good.
Let's get this going and bring up the host of our show, the beautiful Michelle Costa. How are you today?
Oh, I was waiting for my theme song.
Oh, you know what? I didn't play it. I'm so sorry.
Okay. Oh, it's okay. We'll pretend like I didn't come up. Okay, everybody, Men in Black moment. And I'm pressing the button and you forgot about everything. So you want to play with my
Thank you, Michelle. Paul and I talked longer than we normally do, and I was in a rush to get you up with us.
Oh, it's okay. It was funny. I thought it was hilarious, but nobody remembers anything. They don't even know what we're talking about right now. I'm Men in Black them.
Oh,
but
cool.
They do
okay.
know now that they're on Manic Mondays. Welcome back, my Manic Monday maniacs. I'm sure
Happy
me and Terry. Yes, me, Jerry, and Paul, welcome you guys back for another exciting, epic show. Lots to talk about. Let's get the weather over with, weather report. And springtime is here in Rhode Island, but we are been fourth day of rain. And so we're dealing with floodwaters. So that's been exciting, seeing that the ground is frozen. So a lot of the water is just running off. So dealing with that, hopefully everything clears up soon. I know everybody wants to know about Mama Costa. Mama Costa got her stitches out today, and she also got an x-ray, and she's doing good. You know, every day is different. Every moment's different. You know, she's got a lot of pain, and that thing sticking out, I mean, it can't be fun. But, you know, she's got a smile on every day, and so she's doing good, and thanks you all for all the comments that you guys have left. We also, yesterday, was the 3-year anniversary of Maiva Vall, who was on the show a few times, and so we remembered, you know, her passing yesterday. So it's been, like, you know, emotional, whatever kind of time, but, you know, we all kind of stick together, help ourselves out through all this, and I do appreciate everybody for all their support. So thank you, guys. Thank you. Really appreciate it. Yeah. Well, how's that Rich doing, Cherry?
He's doing much better, thank you. I appreciate Good. That. He's doing much, much better. He's back to work, and his eye is pretty much completely healed now and doing much better. And we have one of your guests up on the switchboard already.
I like early
one
birdies.
That you haven't even announced yet.
Well, you know, we have an exciting show tonight. We're going to have, obviously, Suzette coming up. And, you know, Suzette's going to slice up BB Canada, too, for us. And also, unfortunately, Paul, who was evicted prior to Ica, he's going to be on. And, boy, was he just epic. He was epic. But so let's get to the spice. So even though I can't eat pork or any kind of meat on Friday, we still love bacon whenever we can get it. Isn't that true, Cherry and Paul? Don't you like a good piece of bacon?
Oh, I love
bacon.
I tried chocolate-covered bacon about a month ago.
Oh, really? For real?
I did. For real.
Yuck.
For real. It was interesting.
And?
It was like, well, it was weird. It was like chocolate, and then you got like the swine taste, you know, like the bacon, and it was just like weird, and it was like interesting. It wasn't like bad, but it just, there was the two tastes in your mouth, and you kind of really didn't know what to do with it. But if anybody doesn't know what the heck I'm talking about, we're talking about Adam Baconator. Ooh.
Let's bring him up.
Let's do it.
Adam,
hey,
how are you? The Baconator.
Hi, you caught me off guard tonight because I was actually just listening in, waiting, you know, for you guys to do all your other stuff, and just so I knew what you were talking about so I didn't talk about things you already talked about and whatever. I was just listening as a fan right now. If you want to kick me out and then announce me again, kind of like you did Michelle, I'd be all for it. No, I'm kidding.
Thank you for coming on, Adam. You haven't been on Manic Mondays in a while. We miss you, and we love that you're here early as a bird.
Yes, I'm loving Big Brother Canada. Can't wait to talk about that. I can't wait to talk to Paul. Oh, my God, so many questions for Paul. I can't wait. But also, quick news, yesterday they did the Big Brother 16 casting here in New York City. I was down there, Gen City, Monica from season 2. I love that woman. She shows up at everything. Alex came down season 9. I just missed him. I had to go to the New York Hot Sauce Expo, which I did buy a bacon hot sauce, don't you worry. It was such a good time, like, you know, seeing the casting people and just the new people that are trying out. And, you know, I got there a half hour early, and there was already a line of like 100 people outside. They were supposed to go from 12 to 2. I heard they went until about 6 p.m. There were a lot of people. So hopefully somebody from New York, Northeast can, you know, take it home this year. Saw some interesting characters, that's for sure. You know, last year, you know, Nick, you know, Gina Marie both came from the New York Open casting. So, you know, hopefully we'll have, you know, somebody that can actually get just a little further than Gina Marie and win it this year.
Well, we'll see, won't we, Adam? It's going to be interesting to see what type of theme, what maybe twists, as we've been seeing in Big Brother Canada. And, oh, I'm loving it, too. And I think I finally have put myself into one person that I can give my all to and that I'm rooting for, and I'm going to say, because before I was like, I didn't know which way to go, I wasn't sure, and I always pick, like, jump of the gun, and my person always leaves, like, first or second. So I think some of you maybe will agree with me, but not only do I love underdogs, but I think that along with being an underdog, the personality is excellent, and I'm an Adele fan. I'm going for Adele. I want Adele to win.
You know, Michelle, it's funny you say that because Adele is playing a game right now, kind of like Dan did back in your season. Because remember, Dan was on the outside with everybody, with everybody, because he was hanging out with Brian, hanging out with Steven. And he kind of just, like, you know, you guys just picked off everybody else. And he just sat back and, like, you know, listened and enjoyed it. And got to know people, and then later in the game, you know, they needed his vote, and got a little bit of power. So I can definitely see Adele, if he plays his cards right, he's already got some people, you know, against him. But I think if he plays his cards right, he can go pretty far. You know, I start off every year with four people based on the preseason interviews. Sadly, one of them, Nick, is already gone. She was such a perfect combination of Tala and Ashley from season 14.
Oh, yeah, I loved Nick, yeah.
And those were two people I rooted for, you know, in their season, so seeing a Nick. Kenny, who I thought started playing a good game and got a little too big for his britches and now is in a little trouble. Sabrina, who's same thing. Sabrina, when did she turn into Amanda from last year? She, you know,
yeah.
When you announce to everybody, I am the puppet master, I know you're doing it in the DR, but when you get that cocky and that confident, that's when it goes wrong. You, Michelle, tell them, anytime you feel confident in that house, that's when you should be the most worried.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, that's why I think that the Canada being HOH, I think was perfect because nobody else would have had the balls to do the breaking up of what they did, and it goes to show what they think of the first five. But Sabrina, you know, was really worried and nervous, like, because you know that even though she did the dirty work, she did dirty work and then some.
Right.
So, she, I think, kind of knew, okay, this is how Candace is going to view me. And she was trying to get people to convince her that no, you
right.
know. And I can't wait to see how it ends up, like, how it does, it's going to work if, say, somebody on the block wins HOH. You know, does Adele still have his power? I don't know. Did he lose the power after him not using it, or does he still have it?
I think he still has it. The fourth person that I was reading for preseason was John, who I just thought was, he just looked like a regular dude. But the new person that I like now, who I want to see go far, is Arlie. He's Judd. He's Howie. He's just the goofiest person
in
the world.
Did he convince you with his talk to all of Big Brother Canada? That was trippy.
I unfortunately did not see that. I did not watch the episode. I guess it was on last night, right?
Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome.
Yeah, living in the States.
He was, like, talking to himself, but he was, like, talking to Canada, but it was, like, weird. It was, like, kind of like a little cray-cray, but, like a cray-cray that you can put yourself into that position, like. But it was a little bit out there. Paul, what did you think about that?
Michelle, we have somebody on the switchboard that might like to jump in on this conversation, somebody that might
let's
slice up
we got
Canada with you.
Music.
Oh, well, I think we could definitely bring on our next
person bring
because
up
I don't know if it's the guest. I'm
intro
thinking
music.
It's the segment host.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Suzette Amaya.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Hey, boy.
What's up?
I'm amazing. It's beautiful and sunny here in Vancouver and warm.
And you are amazing.
So excited.
Suzette, you are amazing. And just to let you know that you already have one of your guests on the line.
Yes.
So Mr. Baconator's on. Bacon.
Yes, Baconator. Adam, I love you, Adam. Thank you so much for calling in. It's perfect because they're casting right now, and I saw Adam went to the casting, and I saw some pictures that you're posting.
Yeah, it's a good time. I mean, when I went to my first open casting for season 10, I met Alex from season 9 there, and for me, that was such a thrill. But then when I went back for season 12 to the open casting and I saw him again and he remembered me, you know, for me, that was just not even being on the show. I'm already, like, cool with a Big Brother person. And as a super fanboy, it was pretty awesome. So I know how good it feels. So that's why I go down to the open castings that I've done. You know, two of the last 3 years I've been down at the open castings. And it's just such a good time, so much energy, get people excited for the new season. And we all were talking about Big Brother Canada. All these super fans down here in the States are loving Canada. You guys, I got to say, from a U.S. perspective, you guys have way, way cooler of a house. You have much better challenges. And did I mention how fucking cool your house is? That house is so dope. We had the rickety, fallen down, duct taped together. And you guys have
you
a
had
beautiful
my
mansion.
You had my quadruple sloppy second, Adam. Sorry, you slept in my
well,
bed.
Well, you
got to
understand, but this is only season two. So, and that's a brand new house, sponsored by the Brick. And but yeah,
did you just
sure.
Did you just get paid to say that?
No, I'm hoping the Brick will finish my apartment.
Listen up, Brick. Who's that? Need some furnishings.
It look like the U.S. house would fit in that house like four times?
I love how the bathroom.
But you know
what
you have? You have real sunlight. You have like air, and like you can see the clouds. It's still indoors, and I think in the where the jacuzzi is, you can see a little bit of the sky, but you're still locked in, and you can't, like, suntan like you guys, you know? So I am envious of the open space, air.
I suntan a lot. Mm-hmm. So you guys didn't have an open, like, roof in the backyard?
No. There's, like, little panels where you can see little bits and pieces of the sky where you get, like, you know, natural light and a little bit of fresh air. But it's all indoors.
Suzette, it's also in the wintertime. I did see one segment out by the hot tub where there was probably about 6-8 inches of snow that piled up.
Right,
so,
where they go out to smoke, you can actually see all the snow.
Yeah. Well, and it was snowing quite a bit, and that's in February and March. And let me tell you, I just got back from Calgary. I've been on tour, and it was like minus 15, and it was like snow still. It's, like, really winter out past the Rockies here in Canada. So, like, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and onwards, just full-on snow up in Canada. And
now
I'm sure it's still snowing in Toronto.
Just to clarify for our U.S. listeners, it's minus 15 Celsius.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's cold.
That's cold.
That's cold.
But, you know, in Big Brother Canada, when we saw I remember when we first saw the moon, we're like, oh my god, there's a moon! Oh my god, there's a sun! Like, that's why it really makes you go crazy, because there's no sense of time in the house. There's no sense of like what the weather's like. It's really, it's enough to make you go crazy, and we're seeing a lot of that in the house right now.
Oh, my gosh. Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Oh, my God. So, Suzette, can you give us, like, just, like, a quick snap of what your thoughts of what's been going on since kind of, like, you know, Ika leaving and Canada, HOH, baby. I love it.
Well, I think Adele put it perfectly. He said, Canada does not like bullies. And what happened was Canada became HOH, and Canada was the ones who got to decide which house guests were going to be on the block. And so it was like a lot of people out there were like all over social media campaigning. And two major people that was like landslide of who was definitely going to be on the block was Sabrina and Andrew. And they don't tell you in what order who's going to be on the block, but I know there was a lot of campaigning for like Andrew and Kenny as well. But you just never know, because there's still the POV, and the third highest number will be the person who will go on the block if one of the nominees take themselves off the block or something like that. I don't know.
That was a question I had. I was curious about that. I thought, how are they going to do that? But, yeah, that makes sense.
There must be a challenge, and then whoever it is third will go on the block. But right now you have the people who thought they're tough dogs in the house, who've been kind of bullying the whole house. They went from the top of the steeple to, you know, bench warmers, and they're not happy, and there's lots of emotion flying. And Sabrina really thought she was playing the best game, and I think she was doing pretty good, despite, you know, people are going to get on her for her personality and her digs and that, but I think that she does have a lot of control, and now she has absolutely no control, and now Andrew and her are thinking about their actions in the last few weeks. And they've said some hurtful things to people. Like, Andrew was absolutely despicable when he was yelling and screaming at Aika, which I thought on a personal level. You know, he was like, they were calling, you know, Kenny and Andrew were just swearing and calling her bitch, and it was just kind of disgusting, you know.
Well,
and
we
won that competition and fair and square, and anybody else in her position would have taken that money depending on what their position was in the house. If they could utilize it, that they definitely knew who they were in and use it to, like, gain people's trust. Yeah, but Aika knew she was leaving. She did the right thing, and good for her. I totally think that she did.
That was the right choice for her in the situation that she was in. She caught on to everything, and the problem is in Big Brother, when you tell the truth, nobody believes you. When you lie, everybody believes you. So I was like, yo, open your goddamn eyes. Look what's going on around here. And everybody's like, not really. Meanwhile, Aika, who talked a great game when she was not HOH, and she made the personal move, not the strategic move, and then complained about other people not doing the exact same thing that she just did.
Yeah, I need to break in here for a moment. We do have another guest on the switchboard. I'm sure they have a lot to talk about.
That's what I'm saying. We do.
We have coming up on air with us, newly evicted, Mr. Paul Jackson. How are you, Paul?
I'm good. I'm glad I'm finally started talking to some adults, though, some real, real adults. I've been talking to a bunch of kids lately. They just don't get me as much, so this is good.
Oh.
I'm parents. Oh.
I feel you. I feel you, Paul.
Paul, sometimes I'm a kid, but you're talking to the adult Michelle right now. And Paul, we love you. Thank you for coming on Manning Monies. And I'm not happy that you were evicted. I wish you were in that house. Ooh, boy, do I wish you were in that house. But you are so epic.
Thank you. I do appreciate that. Is this Michelle that I'm talking to?
It is. The
Michelle, how's
princess.
Your mom doing? That's the first question. How is your mom doing?
Oh, my God, that's so cute. My mom's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I know Adam is going to have a moment because Adam and my mom, she's doing okay. Today she got her stitches out and she got another x-ray. If you see, she has the apparatus sticking out of her arm. She has to have for another 4 weeks and then she needs to have an operation to take that out. She has her good days and bad days. If you guys know Mama Casa, she doesn't like sitting around and doing nothing. Mm-hmm. She wants to walk around and she wants to do things, but people don't understand she can't shower. She can't it's not a cast.
Hey.
She actually
hey,
has
Michelle.
A,
yeah, very much.
It's
Michelle,
crazy.
If she can raise you, she can get through this. Because believe me, this is nothing like dealing with Steve's princess.
I didn't have a chance to listen to your last show with Kyle. I did have a chance to listen to your last show with Kyle, and it was very touching.
Oh, wonderful.
Listening to you guys talk about your mom and, of course, Vicky that lost her mom. And, you know, it just goes to show that people do have a life outside of this whole reality TV thing that are real. You know, these are real people with real issues. And so that's why when we'll get to talk some more, we'll get to understand why it is that some people were very disappointing in their character on the show, because it's one thing to be on a reality show, but it's another thing to demean people the way some people did. And they have to come off that show knowing that they still have to face the public. So we'll get to talk about some of that stuff. I'm excited to talk to you guys today.
I'm trying to keep quiet. I've got so much I could talk about. But that was one very special moment on I think it was Thursday's episode, when Aika and Heather were building their fort. Aika really, she addressed those issues exactly about being on the outside. And that was a real heartwarming moment for me.
Yeah, it was.
And to add to that, because we'll have lots to talk about, to add to that, I think the downfall of Sabrina was, you're right, Suzette, she did have a strategy in the game, but you don't apologize to somebody and say, listen, now that I've said that I feel bad, and then, just like she did tonight on live feeds, go back to Andrew and say, I just told her what she wanted a year and then made fun of Heather again. You know, so it, that's what Sabrina does. She does a heartfelt moment where people think, wow, she really means it. And then all of a sudden, she flips it and becomes this mean person again. So that's why people are getting tired of her, because she's not just playing the game. She's being mean-spirited.
Yeah.
Okay. And it definitely reminds me, she would be like that girl in high school. And that's a trigger for me, because it's like, you know, we're out of touch of being in those kind of realms of, like, gossiping, manipulating, because we're grown adults. And we're, I mean, we're not good at that kind of lateral violence anymore. But they're at the age where some people are more natural at it and more manipulative. And it's within her character, and maybe that's what her daily life is in the present. And that's why she's so flawless at it.
And it's so sad, Suzette, because she is the person with the lowest self-esteem in the house.
Mm-hmm.
She really is. She's always very conscious about her body. She was not very happy in a lot of the shots that they took and the outfits that they put in. So for somebody that feels like that, to put somebody else down is very disheartening. Do you know what I mean?
Are you talking about Sabrina?
I feel like she's like the one that everybody's afraid to speak up against. But they want to fit into the group because she's in with this one, she's in with that one. But once they're going to have their voice, but it could be too late. I feel like, though, they are on her side, as we all saw the past few shows, they've all said, we want to get her out, but we don't want to have the blood. I guess Canada's got the blood this week, but, you know, it goes to show that even her own kind of group wants her out, but they don't know how to do it.
You know, I got to say, when she was, one of the reasons why I was rooting for Sabrina is because she, you know, had some extra curves that, you know, I'm obviously into. But see, that's what happens. That's in the house, you know, the person that you want to be and the person that you're trying to be and the person that you are, you know, it's all conflict. It's very conflicting. And Paul, you saw it firsthand. I mean, we saw it firsthand from you. You know what? First of all, I got to ask this question. When you came out and you found out that Kenny was gay, what did you think?
You know, I was a jaw-dropper for me. And, I mean, you know, I'm very much in touch with the feminine side. I've got two beautiful daughters. I work amongst women. That's what I do as a consultant, a child consultant. And so, you know, I thought that I would have definitely tuned into that, but he played it so well, especially when he kissed Sabrina that night, that I didn't have a clue. So when I was told, it literally knocked me off my feet. I couldn't believe it. I mean, some of the signs were there, but how do you really tell, right? I mean, a lot of times, you know, you can't tell, right? So I think he did a great job. The fact of the matter is that now that he came out and he told Sarah – on the show, right? I don't know if you caught the live feeds, but he told Sarah.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. He's expelled.
Breaking news.
Oh, you guys are up on the live feeds. What's going on?
I live in the USA, man. Come on. I can't watch
that. Yeah, we don't get live feeds. We just get the information from you guys. So here we go. We just
How did Sarah take it?
Well, Sarah started crying, obviously, because you know what? Kenny is now backed up into a corner, right? He has no more alliances. Arlie's kind of pulling back. And I love the standoff that Arlie and Kenny had, you know, last night, in the sense of, you know, he said to Arlie, listen, whenever I talk to you, you don't really talk to me. And Arlie said, well, that's because when it came to the the first five, I was at the bottom of the totem pole. So now that you're losing Andrew, you want to start talking to me. So Arlie's now starting to have some broader shoulders, and Kenny's getting scared. So Kenny has nowhere else to run but to run to Sarah. But you see, Sarah's already in it with John and Arlie, so she's pulling away from the first five. So this is going to be very interesting. And he played a desperate card. The problem with Kenny is that, you know, this game, you can't go in and act like you're not gay and then, you know, a quarter way through tell people that you are, because know now that you've lied. So what else are you lying about?
That's a big part of your
life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, that's who you are. I mean, that's I was trying to figure out how his game plan was by not telling them, and I didn't understand. I thought that maybe
I thought it worked perfectly for him, and I thought, you know, being able to, you know, put that aside, because you knew he wanted to get in with some strong guys, and if they saw him as gay, they might, you know, not accept him.
But he ended
him,
up saying something, so yeah. He has
well,
to either choose
I,
not
he
to.
He shouldn't have said anything then.
Can I interject and be devil's advocate here?
Go ahead, devil's advocate.
Last week we talked to Kyle, and Kyle said, you know what, when I came out, it didn't matter to me. I didn't even think about it. By people being shocked and like, oh, why didn't you tell me? I think it would be kind of not a very good reflection on people within the house or Canada. Like, why do people have to disclose, hey, I'm gay? Why can't they just be themselves, you know? And so I think that some people will take it one way where we're like, oh, so you didn't tell us, big deal, you know? When it comes to sexuality, I don't think it should have to play such a big role in the game or, oh, you're so deceitful because you didn't tell us your sexual orientation. I think it's his prerogative, like it's his choice, and if he was, people will see it as a strategy, and some people won't even care. So I think it reflects on.
Suzette, you know, right? I love jumping in because this is such a great conversation. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that you know full fact, Suzette, that when you get in the house, everything is magnified, right? I mean, I couldn't.
Yeah.
I try to play a joke there with the orange juice, and I thought it was the funniest thing
I
in the world.
I love that. It was funny. It was hilarious.
I was like, I had more laughs from outside of the house, like in the walls, than I did inside the house, right? So you know for a fact that some things are blown up, and I think this is one of those things. So that if you went in the house and you said, I have no kids, and then a quarter way in you decide to tell somebody, I think that it's going to be magnified as a mistrust. I think that's what it's going to look like because everything is so amplified in that house.
That's the point I was getting at where you struggle with who you want to be and who you try to be and who you have to be in the house to survive. I mean, and I realized early on in my game, just be myself, I'm talking to the first two HOHs of the first two seasons of Big Brother here, and you both did the same thing. Is you targeted a strong person early? You targeted a strong person early. They say you know, don't win the first HOH, but we've seen first HOH go on and win the game.
I gotta ask, we know that Janelle did. I mean, I watched Big Brother from the beginning,
Why did you target Andrew early? Why not just because you made the deal with everybody, which was great. You played the sympathy card, like, hey, let me just get this HOH. Mm-hmm. You're all safe, and you just do whatever they wanted you to do. And then this way, you have seven people protecting you for the next 7 weeks if they get HOH. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand why you went after a strong person that early in the game, being the fan that you are, and knowing. What Suzette did last year screwed up.
Especially a Tom 2.0.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
But now, you know, right, you know for a fact, though, right, that obviously we can't talk about production, right? So some things never really go as planned. But let's just go with what the audience saw. Let's just go with that scenario, right? The thing for me was that I said from the onset, I said, this is not my HOH. This is really the HOH that I'm sharing with seven other people. So they are the ones that came up with Andrew as the first and Anik, right? They're the ones that came up with that. Remember, Andrew came across like a real jerk and an asshole the very first night, and he rubbed people the wrong way. So when the next day when it came up for nominations, those are the two names that everyone gave me. And I do believe that Andrew would probably be the one going home if he didn't win that POV. Because Kenny and John were threatened by him.
Wish Anik didn't go home. Like, and that was sort of definitely like a move like me. Like, I put up Tom and Emmett, but I was hoping that I was going to replace them with Alec, but it was going to be Alec or Emmett. But at that point, Kat got way emotional. She was hanging out with the guys, and she would take me on a heartbeat. And it was harder to deal with someone who was so much more emotional. And at that point, you just got to do damage control. And I saw a little bit of that, and I felt bad that Anik had to go because she's not even a threat at all.
Not as, and neither was Heather. And oh my God, I'm sorry. Go on, Paul.
You know, I don't even think. I don't even. This is great. I don't even think that. And the way that it was shown to us was that Kat was in your face so much that they didn't show the fact that she was playing with the guys. They just showed that she was really bugging you. That's the kind of scenes that we got, right?
The first week, like, they didn't show any of my decision-making or my interaction with the house or and that's the first week, and I didn't see anything of Paul's first week as well. But
no,
in the beginning, everyone wanted Gary out, and I dealt a lot with, and Kat was predominantly spearheading the campaign to get Gary out of the house, and she was really close with Anil, and Anil was sabotaging Gary with the glitter. So at that point, I thought, well, she's, you know, and you don't see that process, and I don't think that's fair for the two first HOHs of Canada to see that process, and it just, you know, other HOHs get an opportunity, but we didn't.
I was blindsided by that, totally blindsided. You know, when I called Andrew out and I called him what I did, right, I thought that I had the whole house on my side, because remember the week that we were in there, his comments and the comments he was making was so distasteful. I thought, when I call this guy out, everybody's going to go, good for you, Paul. Because I thought that everybody
you've
knew
never
what
watched Big Brother.
No.
You've never watched Big Brother, man. What has anybody ever called everybody out and they say, rah, rah, rah? They are, no. Whoever calls the house meeting is always bad. Sorry.
Everybody scatters
on
to the corners of the house and the person that calls somebody out gets left
down,
alone.
And then all the feeds go down for the day, and you don't get to see Deli and Kyle take my side and go after Andrew. They don't show none of that. And then all of a sudden it shows the three of us just kind of doing our own what not to do on Big Brother. I mean,
well, you know what they say. I mean, your HOH, once you make the nominations, your power is gone. You did the dirty work.
That's true.
You made your hands with full of blood, and now they're sending you down the river. That's what HOH is all about. You know, you get the happy letter. You get the happy basket. You make the nominations, and everybody's telling you in your ear what you should do. And then the minute you make it, they're like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. You know, and it's like, God damn it. You know,
I mean,
it was the letter and the goddamn
the
fruity
right?
pebbles
you
worth it.
Yeah.
So the fruity pebbles were definitely worth it.
Would you guys mind taking a call from a listener?
Yeah.
Let's take
awesome.
A call. Let's do it.
Hey,
all right,
Sherry,
let's do this.
Cue up the applause for this.
Yeah,
hey,
I already have it ready. This is a first-time listener. And we always do this for our first-time listeners.
Let's pop their cherry. Yeah.
We have Miss Kathy on the line with us. First time calling in. How are you, Kathy?
I am terrific. And
hello, Kathy. You are on
our
show. Cherry.
Hi.
Adam. Suzette and obviously the wonderful Paul. Where are you calling from, girl?
New Mexico.
Oh,
wow.
Okay. What is your question, New Mexico?
Hey, Michelle, off the air, Kathy shared with me that she's been listening to the Rad Reality Show for probably a good 3 years, and she's a huge Big Brother fan, including the U.S., Canada, and the U.K., so a little background on Kathy. So happy she called in tonight.
Awesome,
nice.
Kathy.
Okay.
What's your question, girl?
So, first of all, Suzette, thank you for representing mothers around the world, and how you were treated was despicable.
Mm-hmm.
And it broke my heart.
Thank you.
Number one.
And it was a trigger seeing Paul go through the same thing that I went through. And
absolutely.
When I watched Paul, I felt so, it was hard for me because I experienced that same treatment, although my cast members, you know, don't acknowledge it, but I did. So.
Yes. And
because
I was rooting for you all the way, and Paul, I was there with you, with your Adele, and Michelle, I am Deli with you all the way, number one. But the way Adele has been authentic and himself and stayed with you, Paul, even when you were doing dumbo things, I hate to say it, but he was with you right all the way, and Kyle and the whole thing. But here's my deal. Kenny is the one. Sabrina's going to just tumble. Andrew would tumble. Kenny is still freaking there. And I don't care his sexuality. And what he did with Sarah today is going to take him a freaking long way.
And I think, Kathy, here's what I think the reason he may have done it. Sarah's probably one of the most trustworthy in there, and
absolutely.
I'm wondering if he felt that if he shared such an important thing with her that she would feel especially stronger bond with
absolutely.
Him. What do you guys think?
I think that was the best person to tell in the house. I think that she might be the only person that will keep it to herself, and I think she will think that he, by disclosing this information, is the person that she needs to kind of put all her eggs in one basket with. So I think
she'll protect them for sure. She's going to protect them like a mama bear, I think, after this.
Absolutely.
Can I just respond?
Go ahead, Paul. Yeah.
My Dumbo moves.
I don't mean it in a mean way.
I've had a lot of interesting, and you know, I love the fact that I get an opportunity now to explain myself. But you know, the interesting thing about this whole experience is that, you know, when you're in the house, right, it's a whole other ball game versus watching from a couch. And so when I got on the show, I realized that there are going to be certain roles I'd have to play. So whether it was playing the old guy really not being able to do much, or maybe sit in a room and not talk to people for days and let Adele do what he wants to do, I mean, there are certain things you have to do in the house. And I know it looks a certain way, you know, and we had this whole plan where the game will totally flip up once, you know, the house is divided, and now with Ike and Adele, and then we go to work, and then it's like scene two of a different type of Paul. But they didn't see the first week, which was really, really sucks, because that's the week that they got to show me a little bit more of the sillier side, having some more fun in the house. They didn't get to show that. But here's one interesting point that I want to make. Do you remember when I went over to Sabrina and I said, it doesn't matter, I still don't like him mooing at you like a cow? And then I could turn that around and said, I'm stabbing Adele in the back. You remember that whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
So I could roll that out like I was stabbing Deli in the back, and I wasn't, you know, I wasn't honoring his alliance. And that was fun in a way that made it look so bad. But essentially, Adele and I had this conversation, and I told him if he ever did that, that's bullying somebody else. Because Adele would purposely walk after and move. You would do that, right? So I told him off the bat, I said, Deli, if you do that, I'm going to step up and tell you that's wrong, and I'm going to tell Sabrina that was wrong. But you see, I could do that perfect opportunity to run back to Adele and say, look, he's stabbing you in the back. So that's how things can get kind of misconfigured and you know, turned in a way that makes it look like that.
Oh, yeah. That's Topaz 2.0.
Huh?
No,
I
go with that, too.
I think this is Kathy. What, the point where, and I so apologize to Paul to say Dumbo, because that's so
she's
not
doing
true,
their dishes while we're on air.
For you. I was rooting for you. But when you questioned Adele, that his loyalty, that was a concern for me that he would, well, which he didn't. He never turned on you. But when you questioned his loyalty and the veto and all of that, his card, that was concerning for me. Although I don't think that was a game changer.
No. No, I don't think it was.
Yeah,
and you know,
that was more concerning
for
me.
You can attest to this, right, Suzette?
Mm-hmm.
When you go into the diary room, right? When you go into the diary room, what do? They ask you 20 questions, right?
Yeah.
So what happens is that they ask you questions that create conspiracy. And one of the questions was, so is that what Adele told you it does? And I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Stop talking about production.
Like
Paul, stop
you know
talking about production.
You know what I'm
right.
saying? So now I'm like going back to Delhi, and I knew it was going to kill him, but I needed to know, listen, I got some inside scoop here. What's going on? So,
hey, Paul,
welcome
to the world of editing. Welcome to the
world
of network television.
And
welcome to the world of
and that's entertainment, right?
What
about this issue with Kenny? Because my concern is, Sabrina is destroying her game. Andrew's a jerk. He'll destroy his game. And Kenny is going to freaking slide right through.
And
I think they trust him.
Great game enough for him to do that right now. I'm not talking about the final six. I'm talking about for the next one or two. That's what
but
I think.
But who does Kenny really have, though? Who does Kenny really have? Arlie doesn't trust John.
No, he's going to be out soon.
Who does Kenny have? Sarah? That's it.
That's
he
it.
Doesn't have anybody
well,
else.
And they all saw how he was yelling and screaming at Aika, too. So they're going to take that in consideration. Like, they're going to be scared of him, and I think it would be smart to get rid of him as soon as they can.
Well,
yeah,
I mean,
when
Aika did
HOH
disclose everything. I mean,
knows,
that was, like,
that
awesome.
Happens.
Wasn't that
yeah,
awesome
well,
watching Aika?
Him up? And you got to imagine.
Kenny up?
Well, you got to think, too. Also, he is part of the Five Alliance,
right?
But right. he's been hanging out with Paul and Sabrina so much. There, it doesn't take a genius to figure out. If Canada does not like Andrew and Sabrina, it's a hop to
no
the chance before they don't like Kenny as well.
No.
So
and you know what,
who,
Kenny?
Who do you think would put up Kenny?
I think he would
think Arlie
him up.
Will.
I
think
Arlie
Netta
would put him up. I think Arlie
really?
Would put him up. I think
yes.
Adele would definitely put him up. You know what I mean? He's got some real threats in that house that he's not even aware of. And like I said, I love the way Arlie said to him point blank on the live feed, I'm not at the top of your totem pole, but at the first
right.
five, I
right.
was right at the bottom. You know what I mean?
Right.
So Arlie's starting to get some broader shoulders now, and he's really starting to call Kenny out because Kenny thought he was the top dog moving into the HOH room when Andrew got it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, and
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, life is all about who you associate with. And he hung with
yes.
Andrew way too long. I mean, this is going to be Allison's biggest downfall in the game, too. And Sabrina, they latched onto the house bully. And sooner or later, people know who you're attracted to.
Well,
that's
how
did you
question.
Feel about
what does everybody think about Allison?
She better drop that guy pretty
that
quick,
too.
But it doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon.
I don't know. I think if Andrew goes, Allison is done.
I wanted Scott to come in. I thought Scott would have been a much better choice than Allison.
I agree. You had
enough of those personalities in the house, and why do I watch the show first and foremost for the entertainment value? And then I root for the people I want to win, and then I root against the people I don't want to win. And then at the end of the day, it's, unless money's in my pocket, I don't care who wins. I just want to be entertained. And I think Allison didn't really bring anything else to the table that was already not was already there, already not there. But, you know, Scott would have been such a – but you know what? At the time he would have came in, that would have really, I think, disrupted everything. We had finally our first showman of the season with Andrew and Allison. But I don't think that I think Scott would have just been much better. Paul, who would you rather play the game with? Have you seen the interviews with the three people? Have you gone back and watched?
I have not.
Yes.
I mean, I got to see the three in the war room, so to speak, right? And having stayed with Allison in the house for the week before I was, you know, evicted, I got to see her gameplay, and I think she's a pretty boring player. All she did was pretty much hang on Andrew. She didn't spend the time to get to know anybody else. That's why she's still considered the new girl. I mean, this girl would sit in a room with me, talk about herself for an hour, not ask a single question about anyone else. So for somebody who's watched the game since the age of 10, which I have a hard time believing because at 10 you have a bedtime. And so, you know, again, that's a whole other discussion. But I've watched the game from the beginning, and the one thing I do know is that in the house, you make relationships. You make connections with different people. The girl comes in the house, and who does she go to? The class bully. You know, now she's still considered the new girl. When I left, she was still considered the new girl. So she's going to be on her way out soon after Andrew. I don't know how she's going to gain that trust back now.
Yeah.
I definitely think Allison
has lined up, obviously, with the wrong person. I think that,
you
know, she has set herself up for disaster. So in hindsight, she probably was looking at, like, yeah, score, and he's with the group that's running the house. And now as we see, have twisted a tripping triumph of just a tanglement of horribleness.
I tried to tongue twist,
but I couldn't.
Michelle,
how things change in the Big Brother house.
I would like to know.
I would still like to know where Andrew got his dance lessons from, because twerking, I've never seen a man twerk like that in my life.
And he was twerking.
You would have killed that competition, Paul. I believe that you have the moves.
I would have killed it. I would even at 43, I would have put them all to shame. So
he was like twerking and lap dancing at the same time.
Oh, my God.
He was definitely
and
Sally.
Sally just
concerned about who is going to take Kenny out.
Oh,
I think
we
got
to go by this week to see
I think it's
what
gonna be
really happens.
Yeah. It's tough to say, but I do think that Kenny's put a target on his back. And once you have a target, I know, once you have a target on your back, people don't let go. Heather, luckily for her, something happened where she's slipping away from it, but she would have been on that block for a long time until she was gone. And even last night, I kept on talking about the fact that she's got to go back on the block.
I think Rochelle would put Kenny on the block easily. I think
you
yeah.
do?
She's,
really?
Yeah, I think she's going to, yeah, have Sarah with
yeah,
all
but
that going
Rochelle
on.
Rochelle
doesn't
do would
anything.
Never let her do that.
Rochelle
Sabrina
doesn't do anything without
never
her.
Never let her do that.
Without Sabrina mm-hmm. telling her what to do.
No, I can see not now, not this week, not next week, but down the road, I can see her having the key on it. Because I'll tell you what, she's a young girl. She is very impressionable, but something about
but
her, I can just see
on the
her.
Other side.
I'm not talking about the next 2 weeks. I'm talking down the road. I don't see her being a threat. I don't see anybody taking her out. I think the game is going to take a twist and turn again. So, you know, we're talking about alliances today, which
Paul, grab your floaties.
We'll probably see a double eviction pretty soon, too.
Paul, if I could just make fun of you for one quick second, Paul, you were playing an end game week two. You were playing Take Me to the End week two. There are so many weeks in the house. Things change
mm-hmm.
all the time. Powers change, things change. You had the right idea, just the wrong time. And I think the winner of this game has not even been decided yet. I think because there's going to be, because Canada loves their twist. And, by the way, I did buy Twistos at the supermarket the other day because I saw them because of
awesome.
Twistos twist.
Twistos!
But I think something's going to happen in this game. And that's why, you know, like again, I'm rooting for Arlie as well now because I think Arlie's going to be the one to, like, get through the cracks, come out the other side, have personal relationships with everybody, which at the end of the
mm-hmm.
game you're going to need. I can see it, and that's why I also see Adele. And I think Adele's in a little bit of hot water now, but, obviously Canada loved him because they gave him the, you know, special powers the one time. I think if there's a little heavy hand, kind of like an America's player or Canada's player where somebody gets, you know, some sort of weird immunity for a week, I could see, Adele getting that and him
that
far
do we
as well.
Know, hey, do we know how long Adele has that power for? Like how long he can hold that?
You'll probably have to use it pretty quick.
But what about that there was a new veto power in the House today? You need to find it?
It sounds like they're doing something like a Survivor Idol thing, giving a clue and they have to find it.
So
I just love all these twists.
Yeah, and you know what? The twist really determines sometimes how far you go in the game. Because look at Andrew, for example.
Mm-hmm.
He thought he had total control until Canada's vote came along. So, even for myself, the crazy thing is, if Ica's vote had gone the way that she'd have wanted it, and it was a slip vote, Heather went, then there could have been a good chance that, you know what, I would no longer have been the target anymore for a while because with Canada's vote coming up. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's ways for you to even get ahead of this game, and there's ways for you being at the top of the game to get knocked out like Andrew just did.
Yeah.
I think that it's more interactive, and that's what they were saying before the whole show began. It's gonna be more, and as we know, we have a lot of Big Brother UK influence on the game, and like Australia, too. If you can survive the twist, you are going to win the game. And I know a lot of people don't like that, But I think it's we're bringing more entertainment, as we're seeing right now, and we're going to see the people's true characters come out. These people are in the game strategically put in by casting and then the producers to not get along, to build entertainment. And I think that,
Michelle and I definitely know a little bit about twists hurting our games, little do-over Pandora's box bullshit.
A lot of things America did, but you know just what it is though. Because if it's these wrenches weren't thrown in, sometimes like I feel like that for Big Brother Canada right now for what's going on, HOH Canada is perfect. Thank you. It was the best twist by far. I was begging for it, and it happened. Now I have a question for you, Paul. Okay, so. I think everybody wants to know. I think I would have done what Aika did. What would you have done if you were Aika? And I'll be honest, I'm glad she exposed the world. I'm not quite glad that they got to see her first. I wish she had a chance to utilize that, but it is what it is. What would you have done, Paul? Oh, my God.
What do you mean? In what situation?
Like, would you have taken the money, or would you have let them have the...
You know what? I mean, everybody knew that they would have taken the money. I think the only person that would not have taken the money in that house is probably Sarah or Kenny, because they just cry babies, and that's all I saw them do all day long was cry. I mean, Kenny cried during the movie. Like, it's a sci-fi action movie, and he's crying when the world comes to an end. And I'm thinking, are you serious, buddy? I mean, I should have picked it up at that point, but I didn't. The fact is, listen. Aika did the right thing. She's a single mother, two kids, you know, living in a basement of a house. You know, there's a sacrifice when we come on the show, you know, as far as, you know, making ends meet. So she did the right thing. I think the only reason why people were pissed, and I think Sarah hit it right on the head, is that she called everybody out for who they were in the house. And the way that
awesome.
She did it. But you know what I love, too, is that Aika also inadvertently exposed a lot of people in their reactions. Like for Kenny, for Andrew to say, hold me back, what did that mean?
Hold me back, she said the truth. I mean, oops.
Do you know what I mean?
But wait. Now, let me ask you this. We had a little history repeating itself with the first HOHs going after big players.
Yeah.
Did Aika not know that Topaz, the exact same thing that everybody was listening? And I know there might have been a voice coming out of the somewhere saying, you know, talk it through. Let's hear your thought process and egging you on. But even knowing what you know, still keep it politically correct and be like, you know, I know that this will mean a lot to them, but, you know, for me, it means a lot to my family, and I came here for me. And if she explained it like that, people would be like, you know what, okay, you're all right. But for her to sit there and trash everybody and then say, I took the money, you know, it's like rubbing it in the face.
But I don't think she really did say, I won the money. It's more like she counted the balls. She stayed out there. She was all in the balls, and... You know what? She kicked some people's envelope. Yeah, good for her.
Yeah.
I think she did an awesome job, and I think that, and like I said, I think it sucked that she was watched by all of them. I think that, you know, maybe if it was like vice versa, if they showed, you know, her that they were watching without them knowing, you know, like she said, I wish I could have the opportunity to utilize this. And she didn't. She had her back against the wall, and at that point, she made the right decision. She wasn't going to win either way.
As a fan, it was good entertainment, but as an ex-player, I'm thinking strategy-wise at that point, you know, any decision that you make, you know, think about it from the game point of view. And I just think her, I mean, she had to have known. She had to have known. Did she not watch last year the same exact thing, history repeating itself?
You got to understand, too. All week that she's been feeling those emotions. I don't know. For me, when I was on the block, I knew that I was going home. You know, for like good 5 days you're going home because people ignore you, people don't talk to you, and then people mistreat you. They leave the room when you walk in. So those emotions are building up because you can't even go anywhere in the house and escape people who are mistreating you or avoiding you. And it feels you're like, I've been disrespected and these people are mean. So the things that she came out, I would have done exactly the same thing because I had dealt with the same kind of behavior that the whole house was against me. What she vocalized also gave rationale to what she was experiencing all week. And I think that she was in right and in saying what she was saying, because then people will comprehend rather than, oh,
that's what the diary room is for. That's what the diary room is for. You get out your aggression in the diary room. You don't get your aggression out in front of other players.
Well, that was her diary room.
It's almost like a
unfortunately, it was in the backyard.
Well, let me tell you, let me just say this to you. The interesting thing about this whole scenario is that Anik, Kyle, and Aika went up with a full-out vote. I literally had to hang tight, act miserable, knowing that I was going to be safe. It was only for one vote. And it was so close that nobody knew. That's why Sarah went in the diary room last, because she was going to be the deciding vote. So it was very interesting with mine, because it could have gone either way. So I
now,
had
did
to
you,
act
did
like
you know
miserable.
Did you realize that, sitting on the couch waiting for the votes, did you realize that the order that they send the people in is predetermined? Like, did you know when Sarah was going in that?
We got a because they changed it at the last minute. That's how we knew that the last person was going to be the deciding vote.
We had a sense of production.
Yeah. So I've heard that enough. But you know what? It's interesting how you know you're right. Kyle knew. Anik, I think she was blindsided because everybody was so nice to her, and then she left with a full-out vote.
I don't think she even realized. I think if people didn't like her, she didn't even realize it, because she was just – she's a happy Zen person, and that is not the place for anybody that – you know. And God bless her as a person. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing quality.
Yeah.
But in the Big Brother house, I mean, we saw that with Ashley from season 14 when her back started hurting. I'm convinced that was because of all the negative energy, and she's such a positive energy person that all that negative energy got there. And, you know, for Anik, thank God, she never had to, go through that. Unfortunately, I was rooting for her, so I was sad. Paul, you took out my girl. What are you doing? I'm sorry. Go on.
But you know what? I told Aika, I did not think that Aika was going to make it far in the game, because on the very first night, Aika was very strong in her personality, and she already told me, Paul, I cannot play this game because I'm true to who I am. And I knew that off the bat, Aika was going to pull up the whole Aika fight thing, and it was rubbing people the wrong way. And when you're that strong in who you are, it's hard because you won't bend for people. You know what I mean? You're not willing to play the game, so to speak. Right, because she rolled her eyes, and she was right in people's faces when she disagreed with them. And you cannot do that in this game, right? So,
I don't want to be
sitting in a room by myself. I hated it, but I knew I couldn't ruffle any feathers because Deli would kill me.
Hello?
Yeah, Paul, go ahead.
Oh, it got so quiet, I thought maybe I got knocked off the air. I was just curious, Paul, about your experience coming onto the stage in a live show. I mean, when you saw your family, it was almost everything that Ariska could do to hold you back. Who was in the audience?
I had some friends. I had my cousin up there. I had my wife up there. And there were some people I didn't even see because I was so focused on my wife that was there. And you know what? I mean, we sequestered quite some time before we even get in the house.
Right.
So it was a while, So I was, and I'm a family guy. All in all, that's my legacy I want to leave behind is my, my kids and my family. That's like the number one thing in my life. So, I missed them dearly. And that was, and this is one of the things that really killed me in the house. And I think there was an epiphany in the house when there was one moment that Aika read her letter to her from her kids, and then I didn't want to do, everybody else crying in the room. So I left and actually went on my own for a couple of minutes, kind of put my head on the blanket. That's when Deli came in, and I was very teary-eyed. And then I was told shortly after that they were laughing at me in the HOH. And that's when it hit me that, in this house, it was so cutthroat that people were doing something.
But I don't understand. Okay, because now Paul, you're a minority. Suzette's a minority. Paul's like a voluptuous guy. Suzette's a voluptuous guy, and I don't want to be marginalizing or anything. But Sarah talks about her kids all the time on live feeds. She talks about them. I'm doing this for my family. I'm doing this for. She talks about her kids nonstop, and every time. I feel like I'm going to do a drink and get wasted at the end of the day. I barely talked about kids, and when I did, it was amplified to the max, and I felt that they tried to use it against me. And I just was wondering, is this happening that she can get away with it?
No.
You know what I mean?
She's a hottie in the house. I mean, John's always hitting on her. Kenny's always, well, now that I know he's not great, but he was always telling how hot she was. Andrew's always trying to get into bed in the house, like in some way, shape, or form, and he'd never take no for an answer. Like, he'd make certain innuendos, you know, you want to come upstairs with me, Sarah? And she's like, no, I'm married. He's like, okay, after a couple of drinks, maybe. Like, they all thought she was a hot mama. So when you're a hot mama and you have kids, then you can get away with it. When you're a guy like myself,
yeah,
who's married, you know, or someone like Suzette, you know, in the sense of married and everything else,
mm-hmm,
and not being a typical, you know, skinny whatever, it's very different how they look at you.
Yeah, well,
I agree.
It's
funny you say that, because I actually use that for my strategy, because I, you know, obviously was in love with my girlfriend at the time, now wife, by the way. Farrah sends her love, says,
Mama Costa.
Yes, I saw the message that Farrah left Mama Casa today. I love her. Oh.
Uh-huh.
But I would, you know, every night at 10:10, I would give a shout-out to Farrah. And my strategy behind that was I'm an older guy and not the, you know, best-in-shape guy. I could be seen as the creepy guy. So if I talked about how much I loved somebody back home, it would say, hey, if somebody loved this guy, he must be pretty nice. And, you know, it was something that was true. I mean, I do love my girlfriend, because now she's my wife. You know, but I use that to my advantage.
So you weren't that creepy then.
Yeah,
you were creepy,
I don't know.
That's why Peter loved you, though. Loved that moment on live feeds at 10:10. We looked forward to that moment in seeing you say hi to Farrah.
It was loving
it was
that we were a little bit...
He loves Barry Spelling,
90210. Oh, my God.
Hey, Adam, let's also give props. You talked about not being in shape. Let's talk about how much weight you lost because you wanted to get on Big Brother.
Oh, I was a finalist for season 12. I was 330 pounds. When I walked into the Big Brother house season 13, I was 220. And in the house, I lost 10 pounds. Not only because there was nothing else to do but work out. Every morning I would work out. I have been able to maintain. I did gain some of the weight back. Losing it was easy. You know, keeping it off is harder. But back to my point of, you know, using it for a strategy with people with their kids. It seems like people sometimes either love the kids or hate when people talk about their kids. It's a fine line. You know, you got to talk about, because you run out of things to talk about. You talk about your family, you talk about your friends. And when people use it, you know, just like in a negative way, like, oh, I miss my kids. Anytime you're Debbie Downer in that house, you're going to bring the other people down. So, you know, when you talk about
Sarah
your,
does,
when you talk about
like,
your family,
and that's when I'm like, what?
Right. I've seen Andrew actually say to Sarah that he was going to try to get her HOH the following week so that she could get that letter from home and get her letter from her kids. Where, you know, why wasn't it the same standard for Paul and for Suzette? You know, I don't understand, double standard.
Suzette, you know, I notice also the difference between you and I is that, I mean, there's a lot of downtime in the house, and Sarah's very touchy in the house. She's always leaning up against Kenny.
Yeah.
She's always lying back against Andrew. It's a very kind of flirtatious way of doing things, too. And Sarah does that. She does a lot of hugging.
Yeah.
You know, she's very close, and she'll do their nails, and she'll, you know, rub their legs and stuff. So, you know, that kind of thing, it also sends a message, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, I'm married and you can't get too close, but let's flirt just a little bit. And so Sarah knows how to do that because
she's amazing, she's fit,
right? And she's like kind of a young mom. She's younger than me, right? I think that they're probably like, yeah, girl, you're awesome. I don't care if you talk about your kids because mm-hmm. you'll kill like pumps and I might need you in the end. You know what I mean? So it seems like she's playing a good game.
She can hold conversation with these kids. Like, she talks about the stuff they talk about. She talks about some of the raunchy stuff that I just couldn't get into. You know, she holds her own and she talks to them and she tells Angie to fuck, you know, F off. And like, she's very much into that lingo with them. So,
yeah. Like, when I hear her swearing,
so
like, oh, calling, what was it, calling Rochelle a twit? I'm like, whoa. You know, like, I think that when she's definitely in that sort of behaviors
she's
as well.
Not your typical
but she's
mom.
Good at saying,
I'll tell you that much.
Huh?
She's not your typical mom, that's for sure. Like, she definitely seems like somebody that can party up with the guys. You know what I mean? Like, she can party with them and be that cool mom. You know what
but
I'm saying?
So can I.
So,
and that's
I
the
know.
Thing, like, that's another thing when you
totally
talk
different.
About, like, what was it? I think it's just a completely different season where your season had a lot of people who were in relationships outside the house. But my season was all single people, right?
Oh,
and so
my
there
God.
Was a,
there were so many
no,
romances.
No, you had more romances in your season, no?
Well, in my house, not outside the house.
Hey,
that's a lot harder
want,
to play.
I want to ask what your guys' opinions are on Wednesday's show. That was one of the most enjoyable shows. It was the one where Marcia came in, and what a perfect selection of Arlie for the task. And Tara comes into the house. I mean, how much fun, and she backed down the stairs again.
Oh, my God, hilarious.
I love Tala so much, and she's like my sister for life. And I love Marcia the Moose and Marge. And I think, you know, Canada's really doing good in being having that entertainment value and a lot of comedy and keeping things upbeat.
Oh,
so
the thing they did with Allison and John when they were getting drunk.
Priceless.
I wish I had a challenge like that where I could, hey, get drunk and see if anybody can tell. I would actually purposely fail that and just be, I'm hammered. And have
Ooh,
the whole house and something bad happen.
Sign me up.
Yeah, you know, I would have liked to see that. I would have liked to see that challenge with two people who couldn't hold their liquor. Like literally give it to two little people like Rochelle and, you know, or maybe like, you know what I mean, or Netta, you know, where you know that they're going to start really looking drunk. But
well, and I'm wondering if it's because
in the house.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like, I think they play a little bit on the stereotypes because they're like the two newbies. You know what I mean? And they're from back there, and they kind of, you know.
John looks drunk or stoned all the time, anyway, so you can never tell. And
John is my favorite for sure.
Yeah. And Allison, you know, she's a new girl, so you don't know all of her personalities yet. So she can, you know, get away with, you know, acting a little bit different one night. But what is it about the newfies? As an American, I hear about it, but is it really true? Like, are newfies like just the party animals?
I wouldn't know, buddy. I have no idea. I didn't know. Oh,
I think that's a stereotype.
Newfies,
I think
everything.
For sure.
Yeah. I
want to.
Well,
ask,
he does
have
this quote, "Party time." Pardon me?
I was going to say, I want to ask Suzette if this was something that I learned on the sideshow. I had no clue that Trevor was the challenge producer. Did you even know that?
Yes, I did. And he's
also... Oh, my God.
And you know, Trevor Boris is a comedian, and he's the producer. He's one of the producers.
He's hilarious.
And he is hilarious, for sure. And he was, like, also the voice of Marge, right?
Ooh.
So,
well, Everybody is silent. Take in all this information, people.
When do you think they'll do an all-star cast of a Canadian series?
I think it's right now.
Years down
next
the road.
Year. Next
this
year.
This moment
season
right
three.
Now. And
season
then bring
three,
it to the house. And let them be like one alliance taking another, kind of like Survivor, who's in the house
and
left, and then
season,
the altar.
Who do you think of season one would come in, Bibi Can? Who do you think of season one would come in as an all-star cast if you could choose four people?
Only four?
I would say, well, Peter for sure.
Suzette, for sure, right?
Suzette, obviously.
Gary Glitter.
I think Gary, Tala, definitely.
Tala. And then
value.
One more. We have
probably,
one more.
I think maybe Tom. I think because he's so controversial.
Yeah. We need somebody to throw in there controversial.
Yeah.
Suzette, you're not controversial.
And then we'll be in together.
Well, you know what? Maybe I'll lose like 100 pounds and I'm like, who's that? I'm like, it's me, boys.
Yeah, I definitely think that it plays. You see, and this is another thing that's interesting too, is that it doesn't matter how long you've been on it, because sometimes your length doesn't depend on the effect that you had on the audience, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that plays a factor in it too, because some people were on there, you know, forever on the last season, and you don't even remember what they did or who they were. People left a lasting impression. So it's very interesting how that plays out, too.
Are you trying to plug yourself, Paul? Because you
well,
did
let me,
play,
let me, let me put
you
it to you this
did
way.
Have
let
a
me
big
put it to you this way.
Wait, what? I didn't do well on Big Brother? Are you serious?
Let me tell you this. You have to be kidding me.
I did awesome, right, Paul?
I think you did awesome. I think you did awesome. Which season were you on again? I'm just kidding.
I've had your back the entire time. No.
Come on.
I still talk to Jesse, yes.
Yeah, he still is buff as he was back then.
He's awesome.
Buffer.
He's tag team champion. Hello, Impact Wrestling, baby.
Nice.
Go, Jesse.
Wow.
Jesse's more famous than anybody ever on Big Brother.
I'll tell you this much. You know, I was talking to Peter. Shout out to Peter there. And listen, the thing is that you have to know that, you know, even though I was on the show for over 3 weeks, you know, every POV, every HOH competition, I had so much fun that if I didn't play a game, the entertainment factor was definitely there between Kyle, myself, and Deli. And from the slip and slide to the trying to get over those ropes, I did it, man. I had fun. So nobody can ever take that away from me.
That's true.
You know what?
Guess what?
I won HOH, and Adam can never take that away from me because, oh, wait, he didn't win HOH. Ouch.
Yes, I did. I won. Time out. What are you talking about? I won the final four HOH.
You
but
did,
not,
yes.
Fortune teller came to life. I won two vetoes. One may or may not have been thrown to me.
Still got in the jury house together.
I love that.
Even worse, I never saw the jury house. I got voted out last night of the season, so I never saw the jury house.
Well, I went to the Catalina Islands on a helicopter ride and beat Dan with an oar.
Third place is the worst place. If you're going to go out, and I'm sorry, I'm talking to two people pre-jury, but if you're going to go into jury, be like the first person into the jury house. Don't be, you know, voted out the last night, because at least you get to chill in a fat house.
Yeah.
Sipping drinks, watching TV, and having fun. Being third place.
Yeah.
No money, no fat house. I have to live in the cheap ass. Paul, you miss me. How awesome was that house? Tell me, how awesome was it? Just the decoration. And I know it's much smaller than it looks on TV, but you guys had just a kick-ass house. I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
It was.
Nice
house.
It was nice.
Yeah, it was nice. Mm-hmm. It was nice. I mean, definitely
the swimming pool.
I'm still getting used to the fact that I can't go through a mall without people just running up and talking to me. It's crazy.
I want to ask you that, Paul. How has coming out of the house been? Like, can you go anywhere without anybody recognizing you?
It's insane, dude. It's insane. I would go. That's hashtag, by the way, insane, dude. But like, I would go to like the local gas station that I've been going to for years, and all of a sudden people yell at me, "I love you, Paul! I love you, Paul!" I was like, "Who the hell are you?" And it's crazy. I'm at the local grocery store, and people are coming up and talking to me. I go through the mall. I can't even sit through the restaurant and have a meal without every 5 minutes somebody coming up talking to me. It's kind of crazy.
So awesome.
It's exciting, Paul, you know what I mean? And that will happen for the rest of your life.
let me give you a little insight, Paul, and Suzette and Michelle could probably attest to this. So the same people coming up to you saying hi are the same people that are bashing you on Twitter right now.
Yeah.
Paul, I have a question for you.
True that.
What has been the most touching or heartwarming incident that you've had happen from a fan since you've been out of the house? What has been that one moment from a fan that has really touched your heart from a fan since you've been out?
I was at a restaurant, and some girl came up to me, and she couldn't be less than, I think, 10 or 11 years old.
And she said to me, she said, thank you so much for standing up for bullies. Because I've been bullied at my school, and I love the way that you stood up to Andrew.
Wow.
And you know what? I thought to myself, you know what? She must have been like, and you know what? She was so scared to come and talk to me. Because, you know, Canadians are so polite, and they don't want to, like, when you're having a meal, they don't want to disturb you. So they'll stare at you until you, like, make eye contact, and then they'll kind of wave at you subtly, which is kind of cute. But she stood there, and you could see her mom kind of pushing her forward because she was so – I'm a big guy, big bald-headed guy like me, right? And so many times people ask me to put my hat on because they're like, if you put your hat on, we'll know that you're Paul from Big Brother because I'm always wearing the, you know, the hat to the stores. But she comes up, and she's the sweetest little girl, and she says to me, I just want you to know, thank you so much for standing up against that bully, Andrew, because he was not a nice person, and I've been bullied. And I thought, you know what, that just did it for me. Because I realized that when I stood up for something in that house, nobody stood with me. And that was okay because I felt, and now people are seeing his true colors, but I felt really alone. But I felt good.
You had a lot of people standing up with you out here.
Yeah.
You just don't know how many people you had standing up with you out here.
Yeah. Well, obviously,
and those are the stories that I love
to hear. Obviously, all of Canada believes you because Andrew's on the block now because they don't like him.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right.
And I kept on telling people, I did not come from Cape Town, South Africa, watch a man suffer for 27 years, you know what I mean, to free that country from apartheid, to come here and have this guy make racial slurs and sexist, like, you know, notations towards the woman in the house, and I'm going to sit there and listen to that? I was like, absolutely not. And my kids are watching this right now, which they were. They're probably sitting there going, Daddy, why aren't you saying anything? Do you know what I'm saying?
Good
how
on
can
you,
I go
Paul.
Back to my
Good
kids
on
and
you.
Say, I'm
and you're
let
brave to
like
do that.
That.
It's not easy confronting people on their behaviors because it's a game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
there's so many
yeah.
times, even in my
I thought,
season, I wanted to confront people, but it's like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And for you to
Amen.
Do that, it was like yeah. everyone was so happy. And it's almost like throwing your game when you do that. You know what I mean? And
well,
I think that
to a certain extent, I wasn't willing to sell everything for the 100,000. I mean, and I was
right.
shocked. I mean, I know Aika was playing her game, but even Aika said, if it didn't offend me that he was saying that I wasn't acting black or urban enough, then it shouldn't offend you, Paul. And I was like, what? Like,
yeah.
wait a minute, that doesn't make any
yeah.
sense. Like, yeah, I'm defending your honor, and you're the one walking away from me saying, what's your problem, Paul? And I thought, okay, well, there's a lost cause. So I didn't know what I was
going to
do with
that. Do you think it's generational?
Yeah, that was really bad.
Do you think it could be generational? Because if someone made an Aboriginal racial slur for me being Indigenous Native, and someone younger than me who's never had my pain of what I've dealt with growing up in the racism and the stereotypes, then someone younger than me might not get it because they never lived it. Do you think that maybe it's a generational thing?
But you
well,
know,
I think it's ignorant.
You're right. There's a lot of people that might not understand it. But when you point it out, that's when you become aware of it. So when it was pointed out, then Andrew would have said, he should have said, oh, my gosh, you know what, Paul? I'm sorry, that was wrong. And then people had a lot of respect for him. But the fact is he didn't.
Yeah.
He took this position where there's nothing wrong with me. You have the problem. So all of a sudden people are like, okay, wait a minute. He actually pointed it out, knowing where he comes from, and you still denied it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's very different
yeah.
if you make a racist remark in ignorance because you don't know, which a lot of children don't. But then when you point it out and you explain it to them and then they still turn around and act like whatever, that's when
yeah.
we have a problem with
well,
exactly.
I felt that, like, you know, we dealt with a lot of racist comments in the, like you heard last season of Big Brother USA. I felt that in my season,
oh boy.
I dealt with it. You don't have to say racist things to me or whatnot, or you might make them slight, like, under your breath. I dealt with that in the house, but I chose not to expose it because I had everything stacked against me already. It's like, you know, when people are racist, they treat you a certain way, they do certain things to you, and you can't say anything. And I felt,
well,
as for me, in my season, I felt helpless.
One of the biggest problems is people listen to the messenger, not the message. And if somebody,
mm-hmm.
You're going to support somebody that you like, and you might not even do it consciously, but if they're doing something wrong, you're standing by them, you're guilty by association. But again, it's a fine line in that house. It's a fine line because you don't want to ruffle feathers because that'll hurt your game. But also, you know, Paul, you said it best. You know, you have to stay true to yourself and you have to do what you have to do. And you know what? Of course, you know, nobody ever will admit. Well, not nobody, but it takes a strong person to admit when they're wrong. And you know, when somebody fights back, you know, they know they're wrong. They just don't want to admit it.
I tell people like the Big Brother house, you know, you film yourself in the outside world, just living your everyday activity, not for 24 hours, but for 5 days. You're going to say something, you're going to do something, you're going to act a certain way that will offend somebody. Period, end of story.
Mm-hmm.
Back to you're in the Big Brother house, you're in a game for money. Okay.
Yeah, but
here's where
the
different lies.
Yeah,
total strangers.
I still think there's a fine line, though. I still think there's a lot of people in that house that didn't cross the line, and they could have. So I do think that sometimes your true character and personality gets shown sometimes. And so for Kenny lashing out the way that he did, it shows the aggressive side to him. It also
mm-hmm.
shows when Andrew said, hold me back, and called the mother of two children the names that he did, it sends a certain message about your character, because there's a lot of people that play this game, like Jeff, for example, who I love to this day, you know what I mean? He played a gentleman's game. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that played this game that didn't go that nasty that could have. I mean, even Evil Dick.
Yeah.
I mean, he got the name Evil Dick, but people still loved him. You know what I'm saying? There's a line that you just don't cross. And you know what? Andrew is so oblivious to it. He said that Canada voted for him because he got too close to Allison. Like, he doesn't even understand the reason why Canada voted for him.
When we're thinking about people that they're choosing and in the casting, they're not looking for people who are like, you know, have these morals or have these ideals or maybe mature, or they're looking for specific people to stir up the pot, right? And it's a game, and you'll find too that some people don't stand up for bullying, but when they leave the house, like I remember when I left the house, Alec came up to me and was sharing all these things, and he said, I wanted to stand up for you, and it hurt me so bad to see you being treated like this, and I had to send you home. And then I didn't realize that he was like, I did it to protect you, I was getting tired of seeing you being bullied. Right? So sometimes people, because it is a game, and it doesn't justify what people do, but like when Andrew didn't accept your apology, then I knew he was just an evil dick, right? you know?
Yeah.
At least Tom accepted my apology.
And not twice, but three times I tried to apologize to him. And even John, the night before I got evicted, John was in my, you know, have-not room because, you know, he was in there with me. And I remember it was like 2, 3 in the morning. Well, you don't really know the time. And he turned over because we both just happened to be awake. And he said, Paul, whatever I want you to know when you get out of this house, Andrew is somebody that I will never associate myself with, or my family would never associate them with somebody like him ever. Like, John was being genuine with me, saying, listen, I understand what you're going through. It's a game or whatever, but I myself can't stand that man. And now it's finally coming out. So people didn't speak up, but people still felt the same way.
I think it's what you take of it after the show. After this, it's all said and done, you go back to reality. And I said this so many times, no pun intended, we did a reality show. Now we go back to reality, and it's how you handle it from that point, whether you leave now, whether you leave, you are the winner, whatever the case may be. It's what you can say that you made a mistake about this, that, the other, and you own it, and you try to better yourself, better your surroundings by doing just something, you know, to help others, whatever the case may be, whatever
if he's really smart, then he needs to use the notoriety that he has now with the publicity on the show and apologize, because when you come out, you hit the real world, and then people are not as sympathetic versus doing it on the show when you can reach your audience, because you're not going to get that same audience when you come off that show. He needs to be really smart about this. I know they're reflecting a lot on their behaviors. This
now
is the time that
you
should be doing it.
We're not a jury yet, right? There's going to be one more eviction because there's been four evictions.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, they brought somebody else in. So there's going to be an extra eviction. I'm sorry. If he happens to leave this week, he will be coming back into the real world, right? Have you talked to Aika yet? Is Aika back in the world?
Yeah,
but I don't see her on Twitter.
No, she's not. She doesn't have an account on Twitter, actually, which is interesting. And again, like I said, if you don't have somebody, you know, helping you with that, thank God my wife started that for me when I was in the house. You know, there was a lot of bad things being said, and at one point we had to keep our kids from school because of the nasty messages we got. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, again,
but
you know,
as Michelle and Adam must know, like, you know, like, after a while people forget. Like, just like they did in last season, people will forget and then just become fans because they're huge Big Brother fans. Tom was a jerk to me. After the show, I thought, never will I ever hang out with this guy. He made my life a living hell. But when I left, he had a complete turnaround and is, like, one of the nicest guys. He's super genuine. And people got to know him and even my friends, and they all started to love him too. So people kind of will be forgiving. They'll see it. But Michelle's right. When it's how you choose to be after you leave the show.
You got
to
own it.
You're living it now. But, again, when the show is over, when everybody gets out, when people have time to reflect on it, you're going to be surprised. Some of the people that you thought you talked to, you don't. Some of the people that you never thought you talked to, you do. And the good
did you
thing,
guys have that though? When you guys came, like I have, you know, I have Brittany Webb was just a shout out because she's there and my wife too, just kind of making sure that I had a Twitter account and that people, you know, they were really defending me and deleting a lot of the nasty things. Did you guys have that when you guys were in the house?
I still have it to this day, Paul, and it's been 6 years. And it's also been 6 years where today I got a message that somebody said, oh, I watched Big Brother 10 back, and I love you. You're my favorite. So you know what?
Yeah.
Those bad comments, you put it to the side, and you pay attention to the positive comments because people can be writing behind a computer. Take focus on the people that are writing positive because those are the important people.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
I have a couple
guys,
of questions from our chat room. We just have a couple. One is from JTV. He wanted to know Paul's strategy of calling out Andrew during your HOH. When you were on the block.
What was my strategy?
Of calling out Andrew when you were on the block.
Well, you know what? Actually, I mean, you know what I guess they didn't show is that you know that Adele and Kyle and myself, you know, we had a strategy as far as how we were going to do this, right? We were going to, you know, when he put me on the block, we were then the three of us were going to sit down with the house, and then we were going to discuss it with them, right? That's how we planned it. We planned it was going to be a very calm thing. But, you see, what happened was that when I said to everybody, I'd like to talk to you about something, they all just started walking away from me. And then, of course, Andrew walked up the stairs and said, if any of you guys want to come with me, come with me. So at that point, I didn't have much of a choice, and then I prematurely kind of called him out. So it wasn't supposed to be planned the way I did it. It was supposed to be more in a calming kind of fashion with Kyle and myself and Adele kind of sitting down. But Andrew really took, you know, he wanted to say it and then run. And that's what he did. And so the only way I could stop him was really to bring that kind of fire down. And then, you know, all the live feeds went down and it was just a whole commotion. So, you know what I mean? It was supposed to be done in a calmer fashion. But it's just
AKA, how not to play Big Brother.
Yeah, things can't always go the way you're it's planned, and that's the Big Brother life. Thank you.
You got another question,
And then the other question we have is from Queenie Smith, and she wants to know your thoughts on the Allison Andrew showmance and if you think that is real or if you think that is sort of not real and just for gameplay.
Well,
I think it's real.
It's real. I mean, I saw them in the house. I saw them interacting. I saw them, you know, kind of making out. And funny because I really wanted them, you know, Adele and I would kind of wait for them to get together and then literally leave them alone. And I don't know if you saw this one scene where they were about to make out on the hammock and then I ran up the stairs and I sang, "Love is in the air."
I can see it in your eyes.
Yeah, and of course, you know, a production thing stopped singing, and I was like, I hope Brittany got that. And so she heard me sing it, and then she ran downstairs, saw them making out. She runs up to the HOH room, and Andrew follows shortly afterwards. And, yeah, I'm thinking they're having it out, and all I hear afterwards is, Paul is such an a-hole. I can't believe he did that to me. And I'm thinking it backfired. They were supposed to have a lover's quarrel, and it backfired to me singing Love Is in the Air. So, nevertheless, I think it's real. I think it's real.
Yeah.
I think Allison has got a soft spot for him, you know. And of course, you know, I think that Sabrina had the same thing for him, too. So, you know, and that's why she's
I don't think that she's going
to. Adam and Suzette, would you guys give a big shout-out to those in our chat room? Everybody's going crazy out here. Just give a shout-out to the people.
Hey, boys.
Shout out.
Hey, I got to know, is the other Sarah Miller in the chat room? We have a Sarah Miller that's a huge fan from Canada. Paul, you'll appreciate this. On the cast this year, you guys had Andrew Gordon, who Big Brother legend from season 12,
mm-hmm.
Captain Kosher, and then Sarah Miller, who is a super fan. She comes down from Canada to New Hampshire for our Toys for Tots event.
Toys for Tots
cool.
every year. She has a little daughter named Victoria.
Girl, Victoria. Oh, she's so
yes.
cute.
Yes.
But,
she's known as Miller time.
So, yeah, so when the cast was announced, I'm like, I know half these people already.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell them to get in contact with them in Toronto. I'd love to get together with them. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I just talked to Sarah Miller two nights ago.
Oh, you did?
On the internet, yeah. And Victoria has a little cold, but she's doing well.
Oh, hey, I gotta get going real quick. I just have one more thing I want to say because I have so many Canadian people and so many hockey people in the house.
Baconator.
I know Michelle's pulling for her Bruins. My Devils are sucking.
How about my St. Louis Blues?
Are you a Canucks fan?
I am a huge Canucks fan.
And Paul, who's
your team? I love my
Burrows. Paul,
you know
who do you like
I'm
in
not
hockey?
Really. I mean, the Leafs have not exactly, you know, made me a proud Torontonian lately.
You did not just say that, and you live in
Toronto. I get more excited seeing the Flyers come out than I do the Leafs these days. I don't know.
We're going to see Michelle versus Cherry Garcia because I think the Bruins are definitely taking it in the East. And,
St.
Louis,
just
nice.
Another championship.
Nice.
Okay, I'll take it. Goodness.
But,
Suzette, Blues are rocking it right now.
I can't wait to see Suzette.
Do you think they'll have a BB
Canada
versus
we're
going to
be in
Cal?
Reality Rally, huh?
Yes.
We're going to be both together in Reality Rally soon.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I can't wait to see you, Adam.
That's next week.
I can't wait to see you guys. Paul, I can't wait to meet you, too. Welcome to the family, bro. I told you this on Twitter. You weren't there long, but you definitely left your mark.
Oh, thank you so
Amen.
Much, my friend. I appreciate it. Thanks,
yeah.
buddy.
All right, Manic Monday fans, I love you all. We'll talk to you soon.
Adam.
Big Brother Tanner kicking ass down.
Bye,
Big Brother 16.
Love you all.
Love you, Adam. Take care.
Adam.
Tell Farrah hi for us.
Yes. Hey,
Welcome.
Paul, I'm curious.
So,
Paul,
what
I'm
you,
curious.
What do you
how
think,
old were
you
when you left South Africa?
Sorry. I was about 15. 15 when I left. Yeah, it was quite a while ago. And,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say the reason I was curious is Adam just brought up, or Suzette brought up Reality Rally, and I don't know if you're a Survivor fan, but that's put on by a former South African, Jillian Larson from Survivor. Were you aware of that?
No, I was not. And she's from South Africa? And what is this event that you're talking about? I've never heard of it.
Oh, my goodness. Paul, it is a breast cancer awareness charity event, and it's called Reality Rally, and Jillian Larson from Survivor put it together, actually, when she was on the show, and I will be attending my fourth year coming up in the next 10 days, and we do, like, an amazing race through an
old
city.
Can we play the commercial?
Oh, let's play the commercial.
Yeah.
And you'll know more about it,
this.
Paul. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Cancer don't discriminate. Care if you're just 38.
This is Joyen from Survivor, and as you know, from Reality Rally. And we do the most amazing event every April in Temecula, California, raising money. We call it Funds for Funds, and the money goes to Michelle's Place, which is a breast cancer resource center, providing services and support for men and women and their families who are fighting the fight of their lives with breast cancer. I encourage everybody to go to realityrally.com. The event this year is April 11th, 12th, and 13th. And be a part of what we do. We have parties at wineries. We have an amazing race kind of game. We have autograph signing. And it is all for fun for Michelle's Place. But it is also for the public to come and meet over 110 reality stars from about 42 different reality shows. And you get to meet them and have fun all weekend meeting them, taking pictures. So come on down at realityrally.com. It's April 11th, 12th, and 13th.
That's what my love is for. Wow. In your week, I'll be strong. You let go.
We have fun for everybody. People can sponsor, donate, volunteer, enjoy it, play a game, come to parties, support our sponsors. And I always have to thank the Rad Reality Show, who has been on board helping us promote this event since 2010. Without them, there would be people that would know but nothing about it. So Manic Monday, thank you for what you do, and also the other Rad Reality Shows that we've had the opportunity to be on. So thank you, Rad Reality Show. We love you guys. It's realityrally.com, and this is Jillian from Survivor and Reality Rally, thanking everybody for what you do to make this such a reality every year as we help save some lives.
I'm gonna love you through it.
Am I the only one that gets goosebumps listening to
that?
I know. I got
that's powerful.
So, you just got out of the house, and they just actually, this is going to be the first year that Big Brother Canada, number one, will be there, and I know for a fact that you will definitely be invited next year.
Yes.
Well,
and I just want to say congratulations to Liza from Big Brother Canada one season. She has fundraised up to $13,000.
Oh, my God.
Big up to Liza.
That's insanity.
Paul, you had a question? I think this is incredible. Well, you know what? It's amazing because my mom passed away of breast cancer at 32.
Oh,
right?
My God.
People don't know that. I haven't told them, you know. That's not really how it is. But I was 6 when I lost her to breast cancer. And, you know, back in Africa, they didn't have all of the technology and the medical, you know, advances they have today. Because I believe that she would have probably survived it, you know. But the thing is, that is so close to my heart. So I would love to be part of that if I can in some way, shape, or form. That's awesome.
Yes.
Well, I will pass along
awesome.
The information to Jillian because, you know, this is so powerful. You actually get to go to the center. You get to see the wig room. They have a room for the families to have library and knowledge. They just don't take care of, you know, the cancer patient. They can't take care of the family. They guide them.
Mm-hmm.
They lead them. And
wow.
It's so powerful, Paul. I mean, like I said, this is going to be my 4th year. And I just, like, I cry like a baby when I'm there. I cry like
Aww.
A baby. I do.
Wow.
Well,
I think this is a perfect time to start.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Suzette. I was just going to say this is a great way to end the show because we're getting short on time
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people to say thank you to before we shut it down. So,
absolutely. I want to say first off, thank you to Paul for coming on Suzette's Slice of Canada, which is a part of Manic Monday, and we love having Suzette on. But Paul, we love you, and you know what? I love that you had your platform for you to be able to just let people know who you are, and you are so welcome back here anytime you want. If you have anything that you have on your agenda or just any words that you have to say to the Manic Monday listeners, we're listening.
All righty. So I just want to give a shout-out to all my fans and make sure that you continue to follow me on Twitter at pjackson, .bbcan. You know, I want to make sure that my fans know that I'm available to come out. You know, I have a website, Paul Jackson Consulting, where I do a lot of speaking engagements and really, really talk into the real issues and get people motivated for change. And that's what it's all about for me, being real and authentic, and this is who I am, right? So thanks again for all the positive things. I mean, the fans have been amazing. I mean, I couldn't believe coming out of that house how much love was actually out there. And a big shout-out to the BB family. I mean, you guys have really come through in so many ways. I mean, people from the States that I idolized, you know, on the show for the 15, 16 years that I've been watching, it's just incredible how people have been calling, you know, from Spencer to McCrae to you name it. I've just had everybody calling me that I never thought in my wildest dreams who pick up the phone and say, hey, buddy, what's up? So I appreciate the love. Thank you so much, and continue to push it this way. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for coming on.
You taking the time.
Yes.
Yeah,
you
certainly
we
do.
Really
appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
I hope you enjoyed the
finale. Paul, I want you to know that you're always welcome to come back on the Rad Reality Show on any of our shows. If you're doing any charity events and you want to let the fans know what you're up to, what charity events you're doing, or anything that you're doing in the future, you want to come back on and talk to your fans about it, let them know. You're always welcome to come back on the Rad Reality Show anytime. Join us and talk to the fans. Just let us know. Jump back on with us anytime, okay?
Thank you so much, sweetie. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Paul.
Have a good
bye,
one.
Paul.
I'll see you in Niagara Falls, right?
Bye, Paul. Yay.
Take care, hon.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye-bye, hon.
I just want to pinch his cheeks and squeeze him. Like, oh, he's so adorable. I mean,
awesome.
You know what? I'm glad that people have a voice after, and it's whether they want to project it or not. And you know what? He has the right to project it. He owns up to what he did. He is supportive of what he did because he did stuff that, yeah, I mean, I would totally do what he did. And Suzette, thank you so much for having
Thank you. It's a pleasure every Monday. And
yes,
we
love it, Suzette Slyson of BB Canada girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah. Also,
did you guys hear about JoJo?
Like, no, what?
Yeah, sending prayers to JoJo.
What?
Yes,
what?
I wanted to mention that before everybody left. Poor JoJo. A lot of us didn't know how sick she was. She nearly died.
What? Don't freak me. What?
Yes. She nearly had needed a liver transplant. She was in the hospital and nearly died. And
oh, my God.
Yeah, a lot of us didn't know how bad it was, didn't know that she was even sick. And she just posted, I believe it was yesterday. Suzette, do you know? I think
did you
it was
put
yesterday.
That on the Rad Reality Show group page?
I did.
It was
yesterday,
it seems like
the day
she's
before.
Doing better now, but I don't know all the details. But.
Oh, I'm sending her a message right after this.
But
I did not
she definitely
know
has
this.
It all over her social media, so.
Yes.
Oh, my God. She okay, though?
So,
like, is she, doing okay?
Well, she said that she's not 100%, but she also said that she doesn't know if she ever will be. I don't know all the finite details of what exactly took place, but she said she nearly had to have a transplant, and she was very, very, very sick. And
my God, I'm so sad. That's my girl. I mean, I know about this.
I mean, she was at Tori. I wish I could have broken in earlier before Adam popped off. Wanted to bring that up so that those who didn't know were aware that. You know, we need to send some love to JoJo and let her know
Oh my God, she's been a she's been a staple of Manic Mondays, Big Brother.
Yep.
I mean, we love her, and oh my gosh, please send out prayers, anything.
Yeah,
I mean, that's horrible. I didn't hear anything about that. I feel like an asshole. Excuse my language, but I don't know if I've been just so wrapped in everything that's going on with my mom and everything that's going on that. Oh my God, I feel like that's horrible. Mm. I just
all
hope
right.
that she's okay.
And just because it's getting real short in time, we also had another Big Brother announcement finally airing this Wednesday at 9 p.m. or 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central on the Reels Network. Kristen Bidding is going to be hosting a show or part of a hosting crew.
Not hosting.
On, called Treasure King.
Yeah, she's
cool. Yes, I heard about that. Congrats for her. I think she's going to do awesome. And she's wonderful and beautiful and amazing and very talented. So I wish her the best.
Absolutely.
All right.
I'll be watching.
I need to go, too.
Thanks, Suzette.
Thank you
Suzette,
so much.
Suzette,
you will
be
so
mommy number one, as usual.
Yes.
I love you, my Suzette, my little muffin.
Thank you so much.
I love you.
And I just want to mention for the people that are, you know, across Native Aboriginal Turtle Island here, my husband and I have just been asked to be the models for a huge campaign that's going on out there to encourage people to get prostate cancer and breast cancer screenings, mammograms and that. So this is our way to give back to the community as well. And so you'll be seeing more of that. In June is like National Aboriginal Awareness Month, kind of like Black History Month. And so we'll be in bus shelters all over the Lower Mainland. And so thank you to everyone who supports us. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Suzette Amaya and on Instagram. And we'll see you at Reality Rally.
God bless you for the work
we'll,
you do
we'll
giving back
we'll be
to
hearing
that.
From you. We'll be hearing from you next Monday, the Monday
yes.
before. So
the
we
Monday
have
before.
One more week, and then the
well,
Monday
actually,
after that, forget about it. We're going to be just going
up. I just
up.
Have to say something. I don't think I could do next week because I'm on tour, and I will be up in a small community of northern B.C. called Greenville. It's so remote that there's no phone service or internet access.
All right,
so
you let me know.
Off the face of planet.
You let me know if you're in Antarctica, and then
I am pretty
we'll
much
going to
be
there.
In Antarctica next Monday. So, but I'll definitely pass forward a name or two of people who'll be happy to come on the show.
All right, that's wonderful.
All right.
Have
Take
a
care,
great
hon.
Night, everybody.
Okay,
bye.
Bye,
my
thank
love.
You,
thank you. Suzette,
thanks
Slice
for
of
the
Big
work
Brother,
you're
Canada.
Back.
There she goes. Mm-hmm. Oh, she is just off the hook. I love her. Mm.
She is so
I'm
sweet.
Sad. She's going to be all remote. She's going to be secluded from us. You never know.
Be...
Let's send her some aluminum foil and see if she can strap up some of those trees with some satellite, you know, antenna. Workage like MacGyver would do. Get a match and some aluminum foil, and MacGyver could do anything. But anyway, I know Paul.
Well, thank you
we're
to everybody
like,
for being here tonight. We're running really, really close on time. So I just
well, thank you, everybody.
To...
We love you. Pretty much, right?
Show.
What a great show!
Yes.
Epic and the off. And let's close out the show as we want to do before it ends with, obviously, we all know that it's the start of baseball season. That means spring is coming.
Yeah,
and
we're
going
to play something right now to close out the show with.
That Ron loved it.
Here we go.
Guys.
But I'm
going to
close out the show. Thank you guys for calling in. And we're going to close out the show tonight. With a song that I want to do, and then I'm not going to come back. So goodbye to everyone. I'm wrapping it up once I find the song. But here it goes. This is for in the chat room and everyone else. Goodbye, everyone.
Playing Go Cubs Go for Ron. Thank you all so much for being here. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Paul. Thank you to all our listeners out there. Join us on Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. It was a great show today with lots of people on with us. Thank you to Adam, to Suzette, to Paul, and to all of our listeners, including our first-time caller, Kathy. I'm going to send her a Rad Reality T-shirt today. Have a great day and a great week, everyone. That's a wrap. Be kind to each other out
Ciao,
there.
That's
Good night.
A wrap, baby.
Good night, everybody.
Night-night.